Accession number 22345, Rule 11.
Major Perkin, Rule 11. You were saying that you were in the hospital for some time. Was it 2 or 3 weeks or longer?
At least 3 weeks.
At least 3 weeks, yes.
I was in the bed next to another officer, when he and I was getting better, the three of us had to go to a convalescent depot.
Yes.
To regain our sense. We didn't want that. So he, I don't know why, but he left his in town. Tsenden was kind of a big town. It wasn't a village. And he left his baton and his job in Tsenden somewhere. And I did what the captain did in his past life. It's Officer Tickler, my name. And we decided we didn't want to go to Congress ever. So one night we packed all our stuff up. When the nurses were out of the way, we ran away.
Was the hospital guarded?
No. So we found this truck of his in the town where it was, and we left. Set off, reason where we were going forward, just headed on new division was up north under.
Do you know what regiment he was from?
Yes, 9th Akak.
So he was Light Akak, yes. Yeah. And he was in the same division as you?
Yes.
4th Indian.
Yes, but he was business officer.
Yes.
And he and I got himself in droves through the night. And somewhere north of Bali, on the main road, we saw the trucks coming towards us. It's daylight. And we stopped and it told us up as the forces had risen. Trucks with a red eagle sign of them. And I asked where the horses in where he's always in. That's fine. We are leading from. He was all right. He got in his head, and I waited. After that, lorries came along, and so was the B Company, which I was commanded for the 16th Bazaar, and I got on board with them. I didn't know then at all. We never heard of casino. In fact, I'm probably gone to the death I know, but we were headed for casino.
So this is the point where part of 8th Army is transferring to 5th Army,
yes.
Going across the spine of Italy.
And we got over there.
What was the journey like, that journey across Italy?
Very rough, very cold. Very cold, snows around, and the roads very slippery.
Were the roads surfaced? Were they proper roads? They were.
Most of them. After four, fastened. But they do so much. The Americans had been the wrong way for a while. And we were taking over some reason at this time, taking over from the Americans. At Cortina. Things long ago, just remember, we went somewhere, I think near a big hill called Vernapro, which I think the American Dollar Hill.
Yes.
They had taken that. Which is after it opened in the middle, rather in the Lirrie Valley.
Did you go up the Lirrie Valley itself on your way towards the casino?
No, not this one. No, not this. No, I turned to this either. Then from this place was completely in the rear. We were then to go and go see the hills, north of them. I'm a bit rotal now. I don't know how the brigade got there with the three battalions moved across to take over from the Americans.
What impression did you get of the Americans when you did your relief?
Well, I come to that. I had the Lirrie Valley with completely overlooked, not only by Monte Cassino Monastery, but by the hills behind called Cairo.
Yes, Monte Cairo.
And the Germans could see everything going on.
Yes.
And so everything had to be done tonight. So we went, got that Lirrie Valley. I don't know who took us over, who died us. We went across there at night, got right close up underneath the hills, went out of sight, you know. I just remember I went into my route up, took me through an Italian graveyard, one of those graveyards with big bowls around it and bodies put in the walls. It damaged a lot in the bombing. Not in the bombing, just about shelling and so forth. And when I spent the night in one of these graves, and then the next morning, we went up.
Were you moving on foot by this stage?
Yes. Yes.
You dismounted from your motor transport.
Yes.
Do you remember where you dismounted from the
Well, I think it's MT? I think it's by this hill, Manasso.
Yes.
It's been quite a long walk.
Yes.
It took 30 hours. It is very cold. Very cold. It's so cheap. Thing, I remember going up the hill behind the foot hill north of the monastery with the colonel, after all the company was with him, up to a broken down farmhouse, which was the headquarters of the brigade of the
So headquarters of 7th Brigade, or the
headquarters of the American Brigade. Oh. The brigadier was either here. Yeah. And he asked him what we're going to do, and the colonel said, well, we're going to touch the monastery, but we're going to have the monastery bombed. So that's never been bombed at all. And the regular, who had obviously got a fever, sat up and said, geez, if I knew my USSAAF was coming over here, with the Columbus Casino over there, while I'd hire me back to Texas. All right, well, it was. And went to sleep him. Next night we took over. They were part of the 36th American Texas Division. I was out of the pace on 4.445.
What sort of positions did you take over from the Americans on that point?
I was a company commander with the 100-odd men, and I took over from the battalion of Americans, of which I had less than 50 left.
Less than 50 from a battalion.
Yes. And the first was three there, dead, and dead mules.
Did they give you a good handover when you arrived?
Well, no. I was riding my men, and I took over from the colonel, who's always had the visit. This had a several time. I never seen the dead bodies of them. And he saw that he, not a time, mustn't bury the body. Must rest where they are. Some Americans come skip later on somewhere. So there's no idea how long he's going to go on till then. So he didn't. Lucky, because if the feeding cold slow very well, and there's no flies or any of that. Well, there were lice because his bodies were rotting. A lot of lice. And he got on to us. The prisoner, when I got there, he said, night time, we can't do much about it. And the Germans, they just built the crest of a hill, 445. And the Germans on top of it.
How far away?
What, 30 yards?
30 yards. So you were...
I could hear the yards of talking.
Yeah, they were on higher ground,
yes.
30 yards away. Mm. What sort of protection did you have in your positions?
Very little, but on my side it was very steep.
Yes.
And rocky. Mm. And I was up against a rock, and I dug a hole, sort of stole by the rock, and nothing on top.
Were there any proper sangers in that area?
No, not yet. What we did, we made ourselves some. The stones, yeah.
So you were just improvised,
yes.
Positions with stones.
And we had to people in the right side talked about in daytime we overlook from the right hand side with the Snake's Head.
Snake's Head Ridge, yes. So yeah. Your enemy was 30 metres ahead of you?
Yes, they were dug in there. I couldn't tell. They're on top of the hill.
Could you see anything of their positions? Or were they masked from you?
Not such, no. I think you might have been able to see some sangers out of the souls. Because yeah. They're very hot. Now
I mean, even if the ground had been earth, it would have been frozen solid, wouldn't it, that
time of year? Yes, not frozen solid, but the... It was rocky anyway.
So they were 30 yards ahead in their stone position.
The top of the hill, yeah.
And over to your right, there was Snake's Head Ridge. How far away was Snake's Head?
Oh, well, this is, I would say, about 300 yards.
So about 300, so, and the enemy were on the end, that end of Snake's Head.
After the, yes, between the head, Snake's Head and where I was, it's on my other county,
yes.
Our street county, under Justice Popple. And then it was something further over still. We didn't know anything, but we just couldn't move near that at all. Mm. We didn't know much about each other's business, so. I'll give you a reason. No extra explanation about that later. But once the American pulled out where we were, I spent my men out as much as I could to tell them to take what cover they could, didn't find any. And once they were okay, you could not move. You just couldn't move. It was going to be overlooked. And, of course, they were going to Lou and these were miserable. Mm. I was very, you watched me some what the other Indians who survived and this weather. I remember many times seeing my soldiers in the early morning, sitting in their underpants and watered those down with cold snow. I didn't do that, I'm afraid. I wouldn't. What amazed me, I hadn't really survived being long out of hospital. I didn't get a stiff cold at all, the whole of that disease campaign.
What sort of things was going on then in the daytime? And when you said you couldn't move, were you able to do anything against the enemy in daytime?
I wouldn't. You're sitting there, and they were doing the same. They weren't going to attack. No way. Part of me working out plans of attack here and there.
Was there any activity at night? What went on during the nights?
They Germans traveled six times.
Yes.
They knew roughly where they had seen us. Every time we just pulled the trigger, it should have to be in the way, too bad.
Did they have any wire in front of their position?
No. They didn't. Mm. But they had a lot of foot binds. Lots of them. Because they were in the defensive position and their intent of attacking.
Did you manage to do any of your usual reconnoitring while you were there at night?
No. Mm. No. He's away. He couldn't do it at all. The Germans ourselves, we didn't really trouble each other much. Mm. It's a long trouble. they could have thrown hand grenades into me, and I could have thrown them back to them. Yes. That's how could be good. Well, we just left each other alone, more or less. But that didn't apply to the gunners, our gun, their gunners. They used to fire in the final system.
Were the German gunners able to range accurately on your positions?
Yes, but I don't think we had much self-fire much in my position. Further back where our battalion was, when we first arrived at the foothills, under sight of the German OPs, we had where the battalion had quarters. Quarter Bartel or anything.
And the echelon.
Echelon. And they sent our food out to sell with mules. And bulls, dead mules of him. And we game animals. And our quarter Bartel, not quarter Bartel, transport officers, a new chap, Captain Smith. He was killed very soon. Down the beach there.
How were your supplies brought up? Were they brought up by mule to your company position, or did they have to come up by porter?
They came up by a mule up to the battalion's quarters, and then I sent men back, or my quartermaster Helgar would bring the food forward to me at night.
How many men did he take with him to the carrying party?
About four
men for the company.
Yes, but the food he had was hard rest, hard scale. We couldn't cook at night. So it's cooked back there. And makes the thick chapatis, which is mixed up with curries. Up in there, and you've got a large thick chapati about hot and it's thick and full of good food. I see that I was that heavy.
What about hot drinks? Were you able to make any?
No
brews up possible.
Talking about one night, quite soon after we left there. I'm not all that thought about exactly days, of course. Quarter of us, didn't get us. We didn't have any food. Where's he got to? The next night he came up. And here, what has happened to him is quite interesting. The night before, he came towards me, had missed my company, gone and left me, in fact, between me and Christina. In the middle. He got behind that and got behind the enemy on top of the hill.
So the Havildar with the carrying party was behind the enemy?
Yes, right behind me. All right, the daytime, the night time, but daytime, just before dawn, up, he hiding behind the bushes, and suddenly up came a German mortar section. It put the mortars down and fired all day. They never saw him. He kept so quiet, he and four men with a rattling. And and then that day, that some of our bombers came over and bombed the mortar. Down in the valley. He was himself, must have just 100 yards from the foot of the monastery. He said, please crowd all day. And then night came, he pulled out again.
So he was able to get back?
He went back, and he said, on the way back, he realized he'd taken the wrong route, and came down, we got off route day late. But amazing how he survived.
How did you get on with for supplies of water?
Well, it was brought up in. I think part of what was called chuggles.
Chuggles.
Have you heard of that?
Yes, canvas bucket.
Yes. And it's been taken out of that. We had very little water. I didn't save that time.
Did you have any additional warm clothing for this?
Yeah,
you didn't.
And they went up with a usual officer what he wanted to do, and I had an old postine coat, which is an inside out sheepskin coat, which I acquired in Hebron in my competitor. And I was wearing it when I got there, when I took over the medicine, and I had a hole had water in the bottom of it. I was going to see if I rolled up my posting coat. I used that as a chair to go to sleep up.
How did you maintain contact with the battalion? Did you have
wireless?
Wireless. Did the wireless work?
Yes. Yes, it did. After about.
Could you see the monastery from where you were?
Oh, yes.
You could. Yes. So you've got the Germans up ahead of you, and was the monastery beyond?
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a hill there, Germans there, the valley, and the monastery's here.
Yes.
In front of me, actually, the Germans are there. There's a field, still there, a field. There's a brick wall around it.
Yes.
One day, I went creeping up to see what's going on. So I had my Spicer gun. And I got out of this wall, I was looking over on the top, and I saw two Germans on the other side of this field. I say field, but it wasn't even made of my, not made of my lawn even.
Yeah.
But it's over straight. Because the way I was coming to the side. And these Germans walked. Water on there. I think I got the boat. It fell out and didn't lose the game. But in the process, I got down again just in time. What an unknown way, I was being watched by a German spider on the top of this hill. And he said, let go. And it smashed all the leaves and the small trees above my head. So I'm lucky. on that occasion I was stupidly wrong to write. And I said, so Durbin, just the other side of the hedge, 6 feet or 8 feet from. We both repeated the referee.
When this sniper fired at you, how far away do you think he was?
I would say about 70 yards. No, about 10 to 30 yards.
And the Germans you shot at, how far were they from you?
About 30 yards. I'd be back there. I've seen that film, and I got first of all it.
How long were you actually up there on the hill in those desolate positions?
Altogether, I think probably more than anyone else. I was out there altogether about 7 weeks. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting happening. You have had this from somewhere else. I was told one night to attack 445 with Germans above him.
Yes.
The colonel told me so.
So you warned the Gurkhas were going to come through and...
Wait a minute, I just come to this.
Yes.
And I said to the colonel, all right. But I said I was asleep. We had the night time. But about half an hour later, we were all dead. Because it was completely overrun by the monastery.
Yes.
They couldn't do anything. Well, and they were right down them. I said, I'll do it. I did. But that was them. He said, well, I'll get back to you. Well, sometime later, he said, well, call it up. Don't do that.
So you've been ordered to attack forward to the monastery, and then the order was cancelled?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll do it my good thing, I didn't think it was a waste of life. We wouldn't achieve anything. Anyway, this is my view. Then, about 3, 4, 5 days later, I was told the Gurkhas were going to cut almost the same area.
Yes.
To my right. And so close to me that I had been all my men out of the way so they could go through. And they would go out of the base, the rocky area. And that's where I sat the doorman there, obviously laying through mine. And the spiels there. But it's quite impossible to get up there. Even in Dara, without bombs and without. Soon, I think. So, he said, I was happy. I said, look, I've said to try and come down in daylight. I found my way and talked to Brigadier, because it's not on. And he said, worth it, but don't interfere. They want to do it, let's do it. I think, I don't know. I mean, I knew the Brigadier well, old Zodis, and Bill Stewart, who had to do it. I just think, maybe, they gave this colonel, didn't say rough time, but, because he or I, was turned down the order to test, right? And maybe they told me, Luke on it with us.
Could well be that the colonel supported you.
Yes.
And so they were down on him because of that.
That's an assumption. I can't prove it. But whatever.
With this slope they were proposing to attack up, could you go up it without using your hands?
But what, you couldn't.
You couldn't. So you'd have to be on all...
It's impossible. Really.
Not really a practical route.
Not really, no. I wouldn't have to do it without any.